All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at a Supreme Court case that is pretty fundamental, really, for understanding free speech in America.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one's especially important for anyone out there wading through First Amendment law. It's RAV City of St. Paul, decided back in 1992.
Yeah, RAV City of St. Paul. So this case, it puts two really big ideas, up against each other.
Right. You have, well, on the one hand, you have this, you know, understandable desire to protect people from hate and the kind of fear that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you have the First Amendment, which is, well, it's pretty clear about protecting speech, even speech that we might find really offensive.
Yeah, and that's exactly what makes this case so interesting. I mean, the situation itself, it's disturbing. We're talking about a teenager who he burned a cross on the lawn of a black family's home. And this happened in St. Paul, Minnesota. And the city, well, they charged him, but they did it under a city ordinance that banned symbols that could stir up anger or resentment based on race, religion, you know, things like that.
So the city wasn't like going after him for trespassing or property damage.
Right.
They went after the message itself. The symbol of the burning cross, you know, with all its history of racial terror, that's what they focused on.
Exactly. And that's where the First Amendment gets really tricky. I mean, even if a burning cross is meant to scare people, which, I mean, it is, can the government actually outlaw certain kinds of symbols or messages just because of what they mean?
Right. It's like, can they decide which types of offensive speech are, like, off limits?
Exactly.
It's a huge question for First Amendment law. And the Supreme Court, they all agreed on the outcome. But how they got there.
Yeah.
That's the really interesting part. And it's important for, you know, future lawyers to understand.
So this teenager, RAV, he was charged under this specific St. Paul ordinance. What happened next?
So the trial court, they actually dismissed the charge against him.
Hmm.
They had two reasons for this. First, they thought the ordinance was too broad, meaning it could end up punishing speech that's actually protected by the First Amendment.
I see.
And second, they said it was content-based, like it was going after specific ideas, which is generally a no-no under the First Amendment. But then the Minnesota Supreme Court, they came in and said, nope, the ordinance is fine.
So the Minnesota Supreme Court, they disagreed with that initial ruling. What was their argument?
They said that the ordinance was basically targeting fighting words,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, that's a very specific category of speech.
Right.
It comes from a case called Chaplinsky, and it basically says that words which are, you know, so likely to cause a fight that they have, like, no real value, those words are not protected by the First Amendment.
Okay.
So they saw the burning cross as, like, the same as yelling fading words in someone's face. Unprotected speech, in their view.
So they're saying burning cross, fighting words, same difference. But the U.S. Supreme Court, they didn't buy that argument, did they? What was their main problem with it?
Nope, they didn't. Every justice agreed that the ordinance was unconstitutional, but they had slightly different reasons why. Justice Scalia, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really focused on this idea of content discrimination.
Okay.
His argument was, basically, even if we say that fighting words are not protected, St. Paul's ordinance didn't ban all fighting words, did it?
Right.
It just banned fighting words about race, religion, you know, those types of things.
So even if some speech isn't protected, you can't pick and choose which unprotected speech to ban based on the content.
Right, exactly. And that brings us to content discrimination. It's a big deal under the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the government can't make laws that favor some topics and punish others.
Mm-hmm.
It's about keeping the marketplace of ideas fair. Even with fighting words, which we've said aren't really protected, the government can't just ban the ones they don't like.
Okay, so that makes sense. But what about viewpoint discrimination? That was a big part of the RAV decision too, wasn't it? How does that tie into content discrimination?
Right. So viewpoint discrimination is like content discrimination, but even worse. It's when the government not only targets a topic, but also a specific opinion on that topic.
I see.
And Scalia, he argued that St. Paul's ordinance, it wasn't just about fighting words related to, you know, certain characteristics. It was taking a side, saying, you know, we don't like messages of racial or religious intolerance.
Okay, so can you give me an example of how that works? Like, what's the difference between content and viewpoint discrimination in practice?
Sure. Imagine two people are arguing, things are getting heated, and one person shouts a racial slur. That would be covered by St. Paul's ordinance, right?
Right.
But then the other person fires back with something equally offensive. But this time it's about their political beliefs, not their race.
Mm.
Under the ordinance, only the racial slur would be a crime. The court saw this as the government picking sides, favoring one viewpoint over another, even when both were offensive.
That's a really clear example. And Scalia, he used this great analogy to illustrate it, right? Something about boxing.
He did. He said that St. Paul couldn't license one side of a debate to fight freestyle while requiring the other to follow Marquis of Queensbury rules.
I love that analogy.
Basically, even when dealing with offensive speech, the rules have to be the same for everyone, no matter what side they're on.
That's so important.
It is. It's about fairness in the marketplace of ideas, a core principle of the First Amendment.
So the majority opinion, it said St. Paul's ordinance was unconstitutional because it wasn't content neutral and it discriminated against certain viewpoints. But you mentioned that some of the other justices agreed with the outcome, but for different reasons. What were those other arguments?
Yeah, several justices agreed that the ordinance should be struck down, but they took different paths to get there. Justice White, he thought the ordinance was just too broad.
Okay.
His concern wasn't so much about the content discrimination within the category of fighting words, but more that the wording, you know, banning speech that arouses anger, alarm, or resentment, that could be applied to all sorts of speech, even protected speech.
I see. So he was worried about a potential chilling effect, like people would be afraid to say anything that might upset someone, even if it was perfectly legal.
Exactly. And he also thought the majority's focus on what they called underbreath, the idea that the law wasn't broad enough because it didn't cover all fighting words. Well, he thought that was a strange way to look at the First Amendment.
Interesting.
For Justice White, the problem was the law itself. It was too broad. It was like trying to kill a fly with a sledgehammer. And this idea that laws need to be very specific and targeted to avoid affecting protected speech, that's a recurring theme in First Amendment cases.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And didn't Justice Stevens have a different take on it, too?
He did. Justice Stevens actually argued that the ordinance, as it was written, might have been viewpoint neutral.
Mm.
He said it was targeting a specific type of harm, you know, the anger and resentment, not a specific viewpoint.
Okay.
But he still thought the ordinance was invalid because he said it criminalized speech that, even though it was offensive, might not actually count as fighting words, according to Chaplinsky.
So he was worried that the definition of fighting words was being stretched too far.
Right. And Justice Blackmun, he had similar concerns to Stevens. He worried that the majority opinion could actually weaken First Amendment protections down the line.
It's fascinating how all the justices, they agreed on the result, but they had all these different ways of getting there. So for all the law students out there, what are the big takeaways from REV? What are the must-know things about the First Amendment?
Well, first and foremost, The government can't ban speech just because they don't like the message, even if that speech is hateful or offensive. That's a big one. Second, even when you're dealing with speech that has less protection, like fighting words, the government can't discriminate based on the content of that speech. And if they do, the courts will apply what's called strict scrutiny, which is it's a very high bar for the government to clear. They have to have a super compelling reason, and they have to show that there's absolutely no other way to achieve their goal.
That makes sense. And the third takeaway, it's about viewpoint discrimination, right?
Absolutely. Viewpoint discrimination is, well, it's a big no-no under the First Amendment. The government can't take sides in a debate. They can't silence people just because they disagree with them. Remember Scalia's boxing analogy? The rules have to be fair, even when the speech is offensive.
I will definitely remember that. But we should also mention, I mean, the court made it clear that there were other ways to deal with RAV's actions.
Oh, for sure. They specifically said that he could have been charged with trespass or even arson, depending on the specifics of the case.
So they weren't saying that what he did was okay, just that the specific law they used was unconstitutional.
Exactly. The issue wasn't about whether his actions were wrong. It was about how the government tried to regulate his message. They went after the expressive content of what he did, rather than the underlying criminal act itself.
Got it. So it's a very nuanced issue, but super important for anyone studying law.
Definitely. RAV, it's a classic case, and it really shows the balance that the First Amendment tries to strike between protecting free speech and allowing the government to address harmful conduct.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into RAV's City of St. Paul. I think we've covered some of the most important and complex parts of First Amendment law.
It's a case that's still relevant today, especially as we see all these new ways of communicating, you know, online and everything. Understanding content neutrality and viewpoint discrimination, those are essential for anyone who wants to work in law.
Totally agree. And before we wrap up, here's a final thought for all you law students out there. Think about how the ideas we've talked about today, especially the differences between content and viewpoint discrimination, apply to all the debates around online speech and hate speech.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right. I mean, in the digital world where you have platforms and algorithms controlling so much of what we see, does the line between content and viewpoint get even harder to define? It's a tough question, but it's one that builds directly on everything we've discussed today. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.